Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I want to kiss you more.
All In with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, everybody. We have a very special episode here. We have a very, very special guest. And by the way, hi, this is Scott Patterson, and this is the I Am All In podcast with iHeartRadio. As I was saying, we have a very, very special guest today. Her name is Maya, and she's coming to us from a children's hospital in Denver. And she has her own radio show and her own podcast inside that hospital. Ryan Seacrest spent millions and millions of dollars of his own money building state-of-the-art recording facilities and studios inside of many, many children's hospitals across the country. So good on him for that. And Maya is one of these lucky kids that has a chance to have her own podcast within one of these children's hospitals, and we're going to talk to her. And there she is. Hi, Maya. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Nice to meet you, and we're very excited to talk with you today. So thank you for asking us and reaching out to us. You emailed us and had a few questions for us, and we're excited to talk to you. So,
oh, I'm so excited to be talking to you.
This is just great. So tell me a little bit about why you're there and how you got involved with doing your own podcast, right?
Yeah, it's not really a podcast. It's it's at the studio that it broadcasts to all the patients' rooms.
Right.
And then I record, they record my interviews so I can upload them to my YouTube channel.
Wow. That is just fantastic. So all the patients over there, all those kids, hi, everybody, love you. And I am so honored to that you reached out and wanted to talk to us, and we're very excited. Can I ask you a couple of questions before we turn over the floor to you so that you can interview me? Because I know you wanted to interview me and you had a lot of questions, but like, can I ask you a couple of questions first?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Okay. So first and foremost is why are you there?
I was diagnosed with a brain tumor before I was 3 years old. So I had surgery and then 2.5 years of chemotherapy. And then I was cancer-free, but then still had a ton of doctor's appointments for other issues that were caused. But then in January, I was diagnosed with another brain tumor. And so I had 6 weeks of radiation and now scans every 3 months.
Okay. Is it looking okay? Is it looking good?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it's stable. There's other issues. Now there's swelling, like the radiation that caused swelling. So now I'm having treatments to control to stop the swelling.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wish you the best. And you are very strong and very talented young lady. And
thank you.
You have a lot to offer the world. And like I said, it's really an honor to be on with you. And thank you so much for reaching out to us because, you know, I can already tell this is going to be my favorite episode that we'll record in the whole history of this, the podcast, however long it goes. This is really exciting to talk to you. Tell us a little bit about, have you met Ryan Seacrest? Have you talked to him?
My mom and my sister and I were actually at the hospital when the Seacrest Studios opened on accident. It wasn't actually me that had the appointment. It was my sister. And so we were there when it opened. So we got to meet Ryan Seacrest and everybody that was there. And then my mom would have to make sure we had time either before my appointment or after so I could go into the studio. So it opened when we were in sixth grade, and then a year later, I found out patients could do their own show. So then in seventh grade, I started my show. And then in eighth grade, I started reaching out to people.
Wow. What a spirit you have, huh? Yeah, you know, you have a brain tumor and then, but I want to do my own show. Okay. My God, how strong are you? Unbelievable. How amazing. Well, good for you. I mean, just, it's absolutely amazing that you can handle all this. Because, you know, I know what I go through to try to prepare for, we're doing 2 a week now, and it's just like, I have no free time. I can't even imagine how you do it or how you find the time. So it's really a testament to you and your intestinal fortitude and your life drive. It's really remarkable. Okay. So thank you, Ryan Seacrest, incredible human being, generous human being with a heart as big as a mountain, that guy. I am going to turn over this podcast to you because you have questions for me. So go ahead.
First of all, I just want to say thank you so much for having me on. I've been so excited for this. So,
well, it's our pleasure and it's our honor to have you on. Trust me.
Thank you. So my first question for you is, when was the moment you first knew you wanted to be an actor?
Oh, that's an interesting question. You know, I used to play professional baseball, and I remember I was dating an actress, and she was on a show. She was on an Aaron Spelling show, and I was, you know, this was a long, long time ago, by the way. This was, I don't know, 1985. And I was still playing professional baseball, but in the off season, I'd come to LA to stay in shape in the good weather. So I'd spend my winters in Los Angeles, you know, training and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, so I met this actress at a restaurant, and we began dating. And I would read with her for her next day's work, right? That she had to go shoot. And she stopped me once and said, "You know what? You're pretty good at this. You know, maybe you should consider doing this after your baseball career." I never really thought about being an actor. I mean, I really wrote more than anything, and I enjoyed, you know, the arts very much. I wrote poetry and I wrote short stories and, you know, that kind of a thing. And and I read, you know, I read plays like everybody does in high school. And my mother was an actress in the local plays and players in the town I grew up in. So word was she was very talented. And but she had four kids to raise, so she couldn't really put that much time into it. But I'd never really thought about it. And then I started thinking about it when my girlfriend at the time in 1985 suggested I do it. So I took an acting class. And that's the first time I went to the Stella Adler Conservatory in L.A. and took an acting class. And then when a year later, I retired from baseball and moved to New York and studied in New York. So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
So when you read the role of Luke for Gilmore Girls, did you connect with Luke right away?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Two things went through my mind simultaneously after I finished reading that script. Is that I don't want anybody else. First one was I have no chance of getting this role because it's just too good a role. The script is too good. And at that time, in 2000, they were starting to hire, you know, film actors with names, real names. We're starting to do television. That's when it began. I mean, a lot of them were crossing over into television. It wasn't taboo anymore to do it because they were usually separate. You were either a TV actor or you were a film actor. And very few film, if any film actors did television. And very few TV actors were lucky enough to do film. So I thought, A, I don't have a chance to do this because they're going to hire a big-name film actor. And the second thought was, I don't want anybody else to play this role, so I went for it. So I really prepped it, and I worked on the one scene that I thought I had, went in and nailed it, and they wanted me to do another scene that I hadn't prepared because they made a typo, and it said Duke instead of Luke on the pages that they gave me for the audition. And they said, well, would you mind going outside for a little bit, 5 minutes, and prepare the second scene? And I didn't think I had a chance anyway, so I didn't care. And I said, sure. So then I went in and I did that scene pretty well. And by the end of the day, I had the job. So, yeah, it was pretty fast. It was shocking and fast. But it was just a guest star role in the pilot. It wasn't to be a series regular. It was just to go up and be in the pilot. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Turned into something pretty nice from humble beginings, right?
Yeah. So did you ever wish that Stars Hollow was a real place?
It is a real place. There are places like that. The Northeast has many, many small towns that are wonderful, beautiful, eccentric, and just great places to grow up. And all over the country, there are actually places like that. That is not a stretch by any imagination. of the imagination, but it's really a very accurate depiction of many, many small towns in America. So I kind of grew up in a place like that. It was a little bigger than Stars Hollow, but you know, we had our eccentric people and we had our oddballs and we had our small town mentality in our communities and, our sense of community, and everybody knew each other's business, and you know, everybody was accountable. So it sort of dictated how people would behave, and you know, it's a wonderful experience. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I have been watching Gilmore Girls. I mean, I always watch it, but during quarantine, especially, I've just been rewatching it. And I just always wish like I lived in Stars Hollow. Like I just want to live there. So
you can. There are many places that are like that.
Yeah, my mom and I were talking about it and how I kind of just want to live in a small town. Mm-hmm. And my mom said she thinks my anxiety would probably be better in living in a small town. So
right.
I was like, okay, we're going to move to Stars Hollow then.
Well, you know, there are many historic, wonderful, beautiful, quiet, small towns, you know, in New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island. I mean, all over the Northeast. I mean, if you, what part of the country? So you're in Denver. I mean, they have places in and around Denver that are like that. They're not, it's not that hard to find a place like that. They really do exist. I've been to many of them, and they always remind me of Stars Hollow. I've been to many of them since I filmed the show, and I said, oh, it's a lot like Stars Hollow.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, It's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What was the most challenging part of reprising the role of Luke after so many years for Gilmore Girls, A Year in the Life?
Well, so much had happened in those 9 years. I'd lost both my parents, and it changed me a great deal. I got married and had a son in 2014. And then 2016 came rolling around and we were doing the reboot and I had a 2-year-old son and I was married. And it's just, you know, I had mellowed a great deal and my heart had opened up a great deal, which is what happens when you have a child. I just didn't really feel like the character anymore. But there was, you know, we're similar in some ways. So I kind of leaned on that and depended on that to get me where I needed to be. I remember the first, and I've told this story before, but I'll tell it to you. The first day of rehearsal, I just did not feel, the first day of shooting, we're in rehearsal and before we were shooting, and I just did not feel like the character at all. And I was in trouble. And I just, you know, I said to the director, I need to take a walk, you know, give me 5-10 minutes to walk around Stars Hollow. Cause they rebuilt the set, in the back lot of Warner Brothers where we shot the original series. So that was familiar to me. So I was hoping that would trigger the old, you know, trying to get the old scent back, as it were. And that worked. You know, I walked around and I thought the thoughts and I had the memories and walked back into the diner and said, okay, I'm ready to shoot. I felt like the guy, you know, a 9-year-old version of the guy, you know. So,
yeah. Well, I'm really sorry about both of your parents.
It's part of life. You know, I had 50 great years with my mom and, rest her soul. And my dad passed in 2013 and it just changes you. It's it really, really changes you. You know, shooting the reboot was a lot of fun because we knew it was a finite period of time. It wasn't like we were on a series again year after year after year. It was 3.5 months of shooting and then we were out. So I think it made everybody happy. And plus we got some closure if it would indeed be the last time. I don't know that it will be the last time we shoot anything. I don't know anything. But it was nice to catch up and so many people had changed yet they'd stayed the same. And it was just fun. You know, it was just a lot of fun every day.
Oh, cool. Yeah. What was your favorite episode to film of Gilmore Girls?
Well, it's always the pilot for me because it was the most surreal and it was the most enjoyable time I've ever had on a set. And because I knew something magical was in the air. I knew something special was happening and it felt like it was happening and it felt very special. And I know that first scene I did with Lauren at the counter, you know, please, please, please more coffee. And I said, you're a junkie and you have a problem. And that kind of, I just, after just rehearsing that scene with her before we started shooting, I thought, boy, this is wonderful. You know, I thought she was wonderful and her timing was great and her delivery and everything, the physicality of the character, that the Lorelai character was just absolutely specific and wonderful. And it gave me so much to play off of. And I just, knew it would work. I just knew the relationship would work between Luke and Lorelai, and I knew that I was the guy, and I knew that this pilot was just sort of a heat check between Lauren and I to see if I was going to be the guy. You know what I mean? Because if it wasn't me, it would have been somebody else. But I was very, very pleased with that experience of shooting the pilot, and especially that first scene, because that was the first thing I shot when I got to Toronto, because we shot the pilot in Toronto, Canada. We shot the series in Warner Brothers in Burbank, California. But very special. Yeah, it was very, very fond, wonderful, warm memory. Yeah.
Oh, cool. So I know that you have your own coffee company.
Mm-hmm.
And how did Scotty P's Big Mug Coffee come about?
Well, I'm very entrepreneurial, and as nice as it is and as easy as it is to be an actor and not have any ownership position in the project that you're doing, just being purely an independent contractor is nice, because you show up for work and they pay you. And that's as simple as it is. You don't have to worry about anything else except just showing up, doing your work, and then you collect your paycheck. And it's a tremendous amount of fun on top of that. So, but I always wanted to own something, you know, have my own company and build it up from scratch and build it up over time and do it the right way, you know, in small steps, and not try to bite off too much and grow too fast and all that. So I thought, well, you know, Warner Brothers has done, you know, 16, 17 years of international marketing for me personally, and has gotten my name out there with the Gilmore stuff, and I serve coffee on the show, and I'm kind of known for being a coffee pusher on TV. So I figured coffee was the natural way to go, because we'd already, you know, on the marketing side, had already had established that that character did that. So coffee was the natural choice. I'm a big coffee nut. So I searched far and wide for great coffee and have some wonderful partners, and we're just, you know, we're just having a great time selling coffee. We love it.
So is there a line from any Gilmore Girls episode that's stuck with you and has had a big impact on you?
Well, the one that resonates with me the most is what I named the podcast after, I Am All In. You know, where I grew up and where I'm from, you know, friendship and loyalty was very, very important. And there's another expression that was not used in Gilmore, but it's an expression I heard growing up a great deal. It's called in for a penny, in for a pound. And what it means is, in terms of friendship and loyalty, is if you're going to be somebody's friend, be their friend 100%. You know, don't dance around the edges and, you know, be an acquaintance, be a friend, you know. And so that I Am All In really represents me as a person, and always has. And it really impacted me because I think, you know, the writing really nailed it in that circumstance with Lorelai. Because he's laying his cards out on the table. And it's like, he's not messing around. It's like, I am all in. I want you to know that I am all in. And that means you can trust me, and that means, you know, I'm going to stick it out through thick and thin. Because all relationships have ups and downs. You can't avoid them. You know, and, you know, you want a solid person. You want to be with a solid person who's willing to make that commitment, who's in for a penny, or who, if they're going to be in for a penny, they'll be in for a pound. You know what I mean?
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all.
For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So is there someone from Gilmore Girls that you've remained close friends with?
Sean Gunn, probably the closest. Yannick Truesdale a little bit. I just saw Keiko. We just had her on the show, so that was nice.
Yeah. So what is your biggest pet peeve?
People that aren't considerate of other people. I'm a big stickler on manners. I like it when people are considerate of other people's feelings and considerate of other people's space and are polite and classy. I like that. You know, there are a lot of people that are, they appear to be, you know, nice people and honorable people, and then they turn around and stab you in the back. I mean, that's, everybody has experienced that. And sometimes it really surprises you. And sometimes it's like, well, I kind of figured that was going to happen. You kind of know who those people are. And they're just not your people. It doesn't mean they're evil people. It's just that they're not your people. So you guys just have to find your people. But yeah, I'm big on consideration. You know, I think it's pretty much the glue that holds our society together.
Yeah. So what is Luke's biggest pet peeve?
Well, I believe it's cell phones. Which means his biggest pet peeve is technology and change. He doesn't want to change. He doesn't want to leave that town. He doesn't want to see that town change. And maybe another one of his, maybe a bigger pet peeve of his is that anybody who dates Lorelai, he doesn't like that because he wants her. But again, he's wrestling with all those questions about, well, if I date her and it goes bad, she won't come to the diner anymore. It could change the complexion of the town. So in a practical sense, as a businessman and as a responsible citizen of a very small town, maybe it's not a good idea to get together with her. And it could disrupt Rory's education. It could disrupt Rory's world. So I think he's so selfless and his needs are so much on the back burner that I think maybe there's a part of him that feels like the town is better served. He's better served. Rory and Lorelai are better served with him just keeping the relationship on a friendship level. But then circumstances propel him into, like, other guys she's dating, kind of makes him jealous. So he wants to ask her out. And you got to be brave.
Is there a fine line between where Scott Patterson ends and Luke Danes begins?
I think in some aspects there is a fine line, but in other aspects there's a wall, if you will. I mean, to draw the similarities are, he's very hardworking, and I am too. Nothing has ever been handed to me. I have always had to work extra hard for anything I've ever gotten. And that's, I learned that very early on in life, that when you must work hard to acquire a skill set and then take advantage of any opportunities that come your way and apply those skill sets as best you can when those opportunities arrive. And if it goes well, you could make a nice living. If it doesn't go well, and that happens, then you keep acquiring your skill set and keep adding to your skill set. And when the next opportunity arises, because I believe you create your own opportunities through your hard work, you take another shot at it. And this time you'll be a little bit better at it. I grew up in a world where people didn't complain. They worked. They just got to work. They rolled up their sleeves and they got to work and they didn't blame anybody else for their problems. They just sort of got up in the morning and got to work, whatever it is they wanted to do. That's what I've always done. That's what I watched my father do. It's what I watched my mother do. My mother got up every morning and went to work. She walked to the speed line. She took the train into Philadelphia and she worked all day. And then she came home and she walked home. That was her exercise. And she'd make dinner. And then she'd take a shower and she'd go to bed. She'd do it five times a week. On weekends, she read books. And so, you know, I was inspired by my parents to have a work ethic. And they always told me, you'll never amount to anything unless you dedicate yourself to something. And it's, if you want to have a nice life, you know, choose something that you love to do and then just work like crazy at it to be great at it, to be an expert at it. And then you can have a nice living because you're earning money doing something you love to do.
So if you could hang out with any of the characters from Gilmore Girls, who would it be?
If I could hang out with... You mean as Luke? Or as Scott?
Yeah. Yeah, as Scott.
Scott hanging out with any one character. Who do I want to hang out with? You know, maybe Jess, because I was a lot like him when I was that age. You know, the young Jess, the 2002, whenever he came on the show. And I think it would be interesting because I could guide him a little bit. You know, I could be a mentor to Jess and let him know in my way what to expect and what to avoid and, you know, just provide a little guidance to that searching young man.
Yeah, Jess was one of my favorite characters, so I was so sad when he left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all were. We all were, but he, you know, he was destined for bigger and better things, and it all happened for him, so we're all very happy for him, you know?
Yeah. So I just have one more question for
okay.
you. And, it's who do you consider to be a real life superhero and why?
My mom, because of her fierce loyalty to her kids. And even when times were tough, she never broke. And where there were some tough times, financially and emotionally, and she never broke. She just never broke. She was just so strong. And, you know, she wouldn't let anybody complain. She never complained about anything. She just said, you know, sometimes life gives you lemons. You got to make lemonade. As simple as that. But that's the reality. Deal with reality. And reality was, this is what we're going through now. Improve it. Make it better. And she did, and she did it every day. And she understood that it was a daily discipline. It wasn't, and nothing happened overnight. Like, if you want something, son, dedicate yourself to the study of it, you know, and it takes time. And if you don't love it, you're not going to hang in there long enough to really become an expert. So I think, you know, that's the thing. And I think because, you know, your listeners, these other kids, they're in the hospital because they're, you know, they're sick a little bit here and there, or they're dealing with more serious issues. Doesn't mean that they don't have aspirations and doesn't mean that they don't have dreams. And, you know, there was a girl on America's Got Talent who wrote that been sang that beautiful song, and she's now had to step back to take care of her health, from what I read. But what an inspiration to so many people in this country that she has been. And I think, I don't remember the name of the song. Was it Blackbird or something like that, or Bluebird? But anyway, she's such an inspiration, and she inspires me. And you know, it's people like you, it's people like your listeners, and it's people like this girl that we're talking about. You're extraordinary people because you offer a glimpse into a different kind of a world where maybe it can be all taken away from you, and you're living each moment at a much higher level where there's more gratitude, or it's things are sweeter, things are more beautiful, things are more impactful. And I think you don't waste your time. You do what you love, you strive for what you want. And whether it's chemotherapy or surgery or whatever, it doesn't stop you. It just makes you stronger. Which is why I admire you so much, and the people that are listening to this right now. It's such an inspiration to talk to you. You have no idea how uplifting this is. And I know at times you feel down and you feel physically weak and maybe a little sad, but you're stronger than anybody that is considered to be in really good health. You are the inspiration, and your friends in that hospital and hospitals all over children's hospitals all over the country and all over the world. Those are the strong ones. Those are the special people that we learn from, that inspire us. So,
thank you. Yeah, I mean, since I got sick at such a young age, TV became like this escape for me in a way, just to leave everything behind. And so Gilmore Girls is one of those shows that mm-hmm. just gives me an escape. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And there's a lot of love coming out of that show, isn't there? And it's a nice experience to wrap those shows around you like a blanket to keep you warm. And I appreciate those thoughts because I never thought in a million years that I would become an actor. But once I decided to, I worked very hard and persevered and went through a long period of no work and hard times. And it's very satisfying to not only have a association with a show, any kind of a show, but one that is so iconic and really kind of woven into the cultural landscape, and it will be forever. And I feel very lucky in that regard. So it continues to be a very special experience and has colored my life in very positive ways. And, so I appreciate it. And I'm glad that you get a comfort and inspiration from the show, because it's really, I think, anybody set out to do. So mission accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on your podcast and letting me interview you. This, you have no idea how excited I've been for this or how much this means to me. So thank you.
Well, you're very, very welcome. And I am honored to be on your show that all the kids are going to get to listen to. And my message to you and to all the kids that are going to listen is that I love you, and you inspire me every day, and just to keep fighting and to just continue to pursue your dreams, because they're as important as anything. I mean, the true secret to life is to just day in, day out, continue to pursue your dreams. And you're doing that, so you should be very proud of yourself.
Thank you. Oh, and I wanted to tell you that my mom is a huge fan of yours, too, nice. And so is my sister, so they both say hi.
Okay. Well, what are their names?
My sister's name is Leia, and my mom's name is Sheila.
Wow, beautiful names. Wow. Well, tell them I said hello and thank you very much. And maybe one day I can meet all of you wonderful people. And it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much for your time. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Maya. I hope maybe we can talk soon, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I would love that.
Yeah. Please keep in touch. Let us know how you're doing. Okay.
Okay. Right, thank sweetheart. You. I will.
All right. Much love.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. All right. Bye, sweetheart. Everybody, and don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at gilmore@iheartradio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, scottyp.com, scottyp.com, scottyp.com. Grade one specialty coffee.
Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.